Now, I'm going to read this morning's scripture from 1 John chapter 4, so you can follow along in your Bibles. And then Karen is going to come up and introduce our speaker for today. But please join me in 1 John chapter 4 for this morning's scripture reading. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he who is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, who he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother.
Hi, I'm Karen, if you don't know me, but it's my distinct pleasure to introduce Brian Coffey to you all today. I think it's been almost 10 years since I met Mr. Coffey. Well, we teach together at Calvary Christian School in the Palisades, and I think about 10 years ago is, I think that's right, about 10? Cato was about 3, I think so. And he has done a lot of different things at our school. Now he is the elementary PE teacher. In fact, he is Soren Eli's elementary PE teacher, along with Lucille, and he taught all my boys. But I was trying to think of how to introduce you best to him, and I think I would say the things that really stand out, like there's just no question in my heart and in my boys' hearts and my husband's heart about Brian Coffey, is the love that characterizes his life, and it is a sincere and deep love for God above all else. He has a beautiful wife named Jasmine and a daughter, Lily, who's 5, and a daughter, Alyssa, who's 1.5. But even more than he loves and adores them, he loves Jesus, and he passes that on. And there is a deep humility about him because he knows God's love for him, and he lives every day to share that with others. It's really, really remarkable. And so it's our distinct pleasure to hear from him today. So I'd like you to welcome Brian Coffey. Oh, and I'm going to pray first, actually. If you don't mind, I'll just pray for him before he speaks. Father, I just thank you so much for this morning and this beautiful this beautiful day and this chance to be together. I pray, Father, for your richest blessings on Brian Coffey, and thank you so much for bringing him to us today. Thank you for his love for you. Thank you for your love for him and how real it is to him. I pray that you would open our hearts to hear what he has from you for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Well, good morning and praise the Lord, Malibu Gathering. The Bible says in Psalms 104 to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So can we clap our hands for Jesus this morning? I am so glad to be here with you all this morning. I'm so glad that I know Jesus. I'm so glad that Jesus loves me and that he loves you. And so we give all honor, glory, and praise to Jesus Christ, our Lord. And would you please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 John, chapter number 4. And once again, we've read it, but I would like to read it again shortly. And it's on the screen. It will be on the screen, I believe. And I'd like to give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the head of my life. He's my best friend. He's my superhero. He's my everything. He's the lover of my soul. And to the pastor of this church, Pastor Brian Kelly, can we clap for him this morning? And his lovely wife, Karen Kelly, and their 3 boys, Chase, Finn, and Cade. And to my pastor, Bishop Howard Swansea, at Peace Apostolic Church in Carson, California. He was delighted that I had the opportunity to come here and share the gospel with you all. And to all my coworkers that are here, Karen Renner, and then Karen Kelly, and I also work with June and many others. I don't want to miss anyone, but just my coworkers at Calvary Christian School, I'm just delighted that you guys all attend this church. And then to my wife, Jasmine, our two daughters that couldn't be here today. And then finally, to you that are here today, you are the precious people of God. God loves you. He's handpicked you. He selected you. You're important. And I just greet you all in the precious name of Jesus. And so once again, I'm excited to be here this morning at Malibu Gathering. I'm delighted that you all would take your time out to come here and to hear the message that the Lord has prepared. And I just thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your kindness, your hospitality, and your love. And my prayer is that we all leave here today differently than the way that we came here, and that we can say it was good for us to come to church today. And so I'd like to read again 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. And this is from the English Standard Version. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And my subject for this morning is we love Jesus because he first loved us. We love Jesus because he first loved us. And so true love in the world today is defined by what the Bible says about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love never fails. And so, for example, I like to point out the Kelly family. If you know Brian Kelly, Karen Kelly, and their three boys, when I met them 10 years ago, there was something about them that was warm, that was loving, that was kind. And we know Brian Kelly doesn't work at Calvary anymore. He's taken a full-time role as pastor, but Karen Kelly is still at Calvary. And if you're looking for love, all you have to do is walk down the hallway, go all the way to the corner in her little classroom, and there's Karen Kelly with a smile on her face, a delightful teacher, and she's kind and she's patient. Worldly love is a quite bit different. And there's a difference between biblical love and worldly love. There are many songs and books. There's many TV shows, movies, podcasts, articles, etc., that try to express and demonstrate what love really is. And as a young boy, I grew up thinking that love was one thing and found out as I grew in Christ Jesus that love is of God. God is love. And so I've been heartbroken. I've been disappointed, I've been let down when I thought someone loved me. But as I grow and continue to learn about God's love, I'm learning that his love will never let us down. His love will never fail. And so into our message this morning from the book of 1 John, we have St. John the Apostle, who is credited by most for writing the Gospel according to St. John, and then the epistles or letters in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and also the book of Revelation. He's also known for what probably is The most well-known passage of Scripture in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you like In-N-Out Burger, if you look at the little cup at the bottom, it says John 3:16. John also is known as the one whom Jesus loved, John the Beloved. He talks about love throughout his writings, and he makes an emphasis in this particular passage in 1 John chapter number 4. He speaks about God's love and ours. And so I like to speak and encourage you this morning. Perhaps you've heard the gospel message before. Perhaps this is your first time. But I like to talk about the love of Jesus. And so I have 3 points this morning. Point number one, Jesus loved us first. And there's several examples. I could go on and on, and you could go on and on if you know about Jesus, about how he loves us. One example is the Word of God, our Bibles. When you consider the 66 books of the Bible, how it has survived throughout the ages, how it's sitting on many of our laps and now on our phones and on our computers, and we have access to it, God's love is poured out in the fact that he has left us his Word. One could say we would know nothing about Jesus Christ, nothing about God, if we did not have these precious scriptures, these precious Bible verses. There is God's love wrapped in the book of love, the Bible. And also, we know if you've memorized Genesis 1:1, so easy that a child like Soren can memorize it, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you look around the earth here, this beautiful Malibu, city of Malibu, driving down Canaan Road to get here, I was in awe and reminded of God's splendor, of his majesty, of his beautiful creation. God has expressed his love by giving us this beautiful earth. And I mentioned food already. If you can't tell, I love food. Steak, burger, shrimp, whatever. I'll eat it. I'll eat some alligator if you have it too. But God has given us the pleasure of food, our taste buds, that we can make the difference between the taste of an apple and the taste of an orange, the taste of steak, the taste of chicken. God has expressed that, given us that ability. And anything that you've seen or felt or have heard, God created it. He has created all things for his glory. And then the Bible also says that before time began, God had us in his heart, in his mind. He has expressed his love. In creation, the Bible says in Psalm 8, what is man that you are mindful of him? He created us in the song that we sang. And by the way, the worship team was excellent. I forgot to mention that, so thank you, worship team. But in the last song they sang, it said, we pour out our praise. It's God's breath in our lungs. He created us. He's given us life. And then he's given us a free will. And I don't take that for granted, because God could have made us creatures like robots and said, you're going to do exactly what I tell you to do. You have no choice. You're going to be my slaves or my servants, perhaps. But he's given us a free will that we can make a decision to love him back. He's given us the ability to love him as he has loved us. And then, if that wasn't enough, we have our Almighty God, who is a spirit, that comes down in the flesh as Jesus Christ. And he was humble, he was meek, he was lowly, he was loving, he was a good shepherd. He taught, he had a ministry for 3.5 years. He was the perfect example. And then he died on the cross for our sins. The Bible says there's no greater love that a man can have than one that would lay down his life for his friends. And then out of love, he didn't stay in the grave. He rose from the dead, and then he ascended into heaven and poured out his Holy Spirit unto those that would believe and those that would receive him. The Bible also says that the Holy Spirit is God's love, and it's shed abroad in our hearts. And he said if our ways would please the Lord, he would give us the desires of our heart. That is God's love. And he's made a kingdom for us that love him, that receive him, that obey him, the kingdom of heaven, whereby we can live forever. There's no one who could do that but Jesus. God loved us first. His love has been proven, it's been tested, it's been documented, and many of us sitting here today have our own personal testimony of how God has loved us unconditionally. There's no love like the love of Jesus. Which leads me to my second point. We must love Jesus. We must love Jesus. He loved us first, so we must love him back. So think about it for a second. When someone shows you love or kindness or gratitude, sometimes in word, sometimes in deed, sometimes with a gift, hopefully our response is to show love back. Hopefully our response is to have a smile of gratitude, of thankfulness. Hopefully our response is to be so overwhelmed with the gift of love, with the compassion that's given and shown to us, with kind words that are spoken to our hearts, that we would respond by showing love back. And so, an example, if you've ever received a kind gift, how many of you have received a gift before? Christmas, birthday, anniversary, Valentine's Day. Hopefully, we responded by saying thank you. Now, nowadays, sometimes, you know, unless you have a kid like Soren over here, some kids forget, some adults forget to say thank you, to say I love you. These are things that we must do because God has loved us first. I have an example. I teach PE, as Mrs. Kelly mentioned, and we play a game called dodgeball. Have you guys ever played dodgeball before? We have these little balls, and so I'm playing dodgeball, and I get very serious with the children, very serious, even kindergartners. And so the rules are you're allowed to have two dodgeballs at once. And so I threw one of my dodgeballs, got a kindergartner out. It's harder than it looks. And there was this precious kindergarten girl, and she saw I only had one ball, and she gave me another. So now I've got two balls, so I'm dangerous, right, Soren? I'm dangerous with two balls because I might get Soren, or I might get Lucille, or I might get my daughter Lily. So I throw another ball. No, excuse me. So I have two balls, and then the little girl says, can I have a ball? And you don't know how bad I wanted to say no. I need my two balls. I've got to take down 40 kindergartners. I don't want to share the two dodgeballs. But then I said, well, she did give me one dodgeball, so I tossed her the ball out of love. And so I had to love her because she loved me first. I had to give her the dodgeball because she gave me the dodgeball first. And with this love, I don't want to say I love you. Why? Because, let's say, my family's full of Christians. So because my family's full of Christians, I love you. I don't want to say that. I don't want to say because I have a Christian background, I grew up in Los Angeles, that's why I love you. I don't want to have to say that. And I don't want to say I love you because I live in a Christian community. Or the only reason I love you actually is because I go to Malibu Gathering. But no, I want to be able to say I love you because that's how God made me to be. I love you because my Savior Jesus Christ loved me first. I love you because this is who I am now. I'm a different person. I've been changed. I have repented from my sins. I've turned away from the old lifestyle. And now I love you because Jesus first loved me, because I love Jesus, because my God is love. I want to leave here today with that new attitude, with new desires, with a new outlook on life. I want to leave here today saying I love Jesus and I love my brothers and sisters. Another reason we must love Jesus back, think of a simple example of Superman. Does everyone in here know who Superman is? When you're a young child, perhaps you have a favorite superhero, and you walk around, you're not ashamed to say, I love Superman. He's the best superhero ever. I know everything about him. I'm going to tell my friends about him. I've got toys. I represent Superman. But how much more for Jesus? Superman is fictional. Jesus is real. So when's the last time we went out with love and shared, I know Jesus. He's wonderful. He's kind. He's loving. He's super. He has all power. I want to be like him. I want you to know him. Let's talk about him a little bit. Let me tell you the story about Jesus. We also have the commandment to love from Deuteronomy 6:4, which says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and we shall love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength." It's a commandment to love Jesus. We must love Jesus. And then lastly, the benefits of loving Jesus. Have you ever been sick? Have you ever been heartbroken? Have you ever been disappointed or sad? Have you ever needed something? Maybe you needed a job. Maybe you needed a friend. Maybe you needed a place to stay. Whatever your need was or is right now, we have Jesus who loves us and cares about us. We must love him back. And point number three, we must love one another. The Bible says to love one another as I, as Jesus, has loved us. We must love one another. Think about all the things that Jesus has done. Think about his kindness, his compassion. Think about how he carried himself with integrity. We must love one another. Be grateful for what God has done for you. Think about what you've heard from your friends and family. Have you ever received a phone call with good news and someone told you, "Hey, guess what, my friend? The Lord blessed me. I'm not sick anymore. The Lord healed my body. The Lord gave me that job I was applying for. The Lord allowed me to graduate from school. The Lord has blessed my family. I have a place to live now. I have a family that loves me." Be grateful for it and express the love of God to one another. Remembering what he has done will make you want to love others. Again, the simple dodgeball example. If I had not remembered the dodgeball was given to me, perhaps I would not have given the dodgeball to my kindergarten student. And if I can't remember that Jesus laid down his life, that he took away my sins and my guilt and my shame, if I can't remember how much he loves me expressed through his word and his creation, then it would be very difficult for me to love my brother and my sister. And in the passage that we read in 1 John chapter 4, it says you can't say that you love God and hate your brother. Now, maybe we haven't recognized that hate is more than just saying, "I hate you." Hate could be a denying of doing good to someone. Hate can mean that you won't speak to someone because you're holding grudges. But we want to be cleansed. We want to leave here uplifted. We want to be sure that we are pleasing our Savior and our Lord by loving one another. The Bible says that men will know that you are a disciple of God, not because you're wearing a t-shirt that says Malibu Gathering, or not because you wear a t-shirt that says Calvary, or not because you wear a shirt that says Jesus, or not because you can pray better or louder than anyone, or not because you can quote scripture. The Bible says that men will know that you're a disciple of Jesus because you have love one to another. How can you tell that someone loves Jesus? Because they'll be loving to you. How can you win souls to Christ? How can you draw people in? Because of love. Because God first loved us. We want to be ambassadors for Christ. We want to go out and witness and testify and tell others of his goodness. And to do that, it must be done in love. We want to represent Jesus Christ. When people see you, when people see me, I hope and pray that they can see there's something different about that woman. There's something different about that man. There's something different about that boy or that girl. There's something different about them. They're loving. They're kind. They got cut off in traffic, and they didn't throw a road rage tantrum. They were mistreated. They were abused. They were mistreated, and someone said something rude to them and evil to them, but they didn't respond with anger and hatred. They responded with love and forgiveness because that's who their Savior is. He's love, he's kind, and he's a forgiving God. Love should eventually become your nature. It should become who you are. I want to be known. It's Brian Coffey. He loves me not because he's going to be punished if he doesn't, not because necessarily that he's commanded to, and he has this type of fear that if he doesn't do it, that he's going to be cast to hell, or that if he doesn't do it, there's going to be a mark or a check next to his name, but because it's his nature. Why did you help me out, Brian? Why did you help me out, Karen? Because I love you, because it's who I am, because it's part of me now, because I have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of me, that now I can love you as Christ loved me. My testimony, I would like to wrap up in a song, and I could go on and on. I'm 35 years old, and I became a Christian when I was 21. Now, sometimes people turn 21, and they say, now I'm legal, and now I'm going to go and party and do this and that. I thank God that when I turned 21, I found Christ, but rather, Christ found me. And I wanted to sum up my testimony in three words. Love lifted me. There's a song, an old hymn song, and it's titled Love Lifted Me. And it says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, stained so deeply from within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me, now saved am I. And the chorus says, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, when my family couldn't help, when my father couldn't help, when my mother couldn't help, when my brothers, my cousins, my sister, when my teachers weren't there, when no one else could help me, Jesus was right there all along because he loved me. He lifted me up. He first loved me. And so in closing, we can leave here today knowing that Jesus loves us. Jesus loves you. He loves me. He really cares about us. It's not a superficial love that he sits on his throne in heaven, says, well, yeah, I love you, and I'm going to do nothing to help you. It's not a superficial love where he just says, I love you, but there's no evidence or action to prove it. It's a real, sincere, deep, kind, compassionate love that will never fail. And so when you leave here today, I pray that you will always remember that Jesus loves you and that he cares. The Bible says to cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. And my prayer again is that you will love your neighbor, that you will love your brothers and your sisters, even when they get on your nerves, even when there's a disagreement, even if they've hurt you before, love them as Christ loved you. Would you please pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we bless your name. We thank you for Malibu Gathering, for all those that were here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness and your love that you have expressed to us clearly and visibly and eternally. We thank you, Lord, for loving us first and giving us the mindset, the ability to love you back and to love one another. I pray, Father, that you would continue to bless this church, continue to bless every member, every friend, every visitor, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. I pray that you would bless Pastor Kelly and the men at the men's retreat, that you would allow them to enjoy your presence forevermore. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you that you're coming back for us soon. And we have a great expectation, Lord, that we will be with you forever, eternally, Lord, because you promised that you would receive us to yourself, that you would reconcile us to yourself. We owe everything to you, Lord Jesus. We give everything to you. We're holding on to nothing, but we surrender all unto our blessed Savior. We thank you once again, Lord Jesus. We love you, we praise you, and we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.